Smart Eyewear Highlight, sponsored by Innovative Eyewear, developer and provider of cutting-edge Lucid Bluetooth glasses. Lucid Smart Eyewear is multifunctional, meeting the needs of the optical, hearable, and digital assistant markets. Innovative Eyewear. NASDAQ trading symbol LUCY. Lucy. Web address lucyd.co.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. And we're here to praise Stephen Breyer, who has announced his retirement. We've done this before, and I wanted to come back to it because Mr. Breyer has been in the news over these last months and certainly the early days of the Biden administration. There are voices in the Democratic Party, as I understand, who've been urging him to retire. He's now retiring. So therefore, the matter is moot. However, praise of Stephen Breyer is important here. My understanding from your teaching, Professor, is Stephen Breyer has served as the senior and a trustworthy liberal voice on the court. Is that correct?
He and Ruth Bader Ginsburg shared that particular role. They were appointed within a very short time of one another, both by Bill Clinton. They're somewhat different people. They were both academics, one at Columbia and one at Harvard. They both served as judges on intermediate courts. They had very different areas of specialty. Ruth Ginsburg, dealt a lot of stuff with equal protection clause, race relations, sex relations, and so forth. And it turns out, if you looked at Breyer, he was chiefly an administrative law professor, constitutional overtones, and a lot of rather sophisticated stuff dealing with the antitrust law. So they come from different kinds of things. I thought both of them served honorably. I say that notwithstanding the fact that I disagree with many of their opinions. I think the whole point is, do they bring a seriousness of purpose to the issue? Do they try to get things right? And I think both of them were pretty scrupulous in the way in which they did this. They were not known for their outbursts, at least throughout it. I think in the last year or so, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she did say sort of things in public which she came to regret. I think she was getting old. I think one of the reasons why I'm glad that Breyer's retiring, I like people to leave stage when they're still at their prime. He's had a very great run. He's 83 years of age. If he stayed on two or three more years, you have no idea what's going to happen. What they say in the show business is you get off the stage when they're still smiling. And I think he was wise enough to do that. Obviously, the Democrats are thrilled with the possibility because now they could parlay an empty seat into 20 or 30 years of service. And it becomes very critical on how they're going to do it. But I don't know of anybody who had any kind of personal animus with respect to Breyer, which is, I think, a real compliment to him. It's also clear that he's a very kind of serious thinker. He wrote stuff off the bench, which was interesting, most of which I disagree with, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that you knew that you had somebody who was a worthy adversary on the court, a thoroughly decent human being, and that's all that you can ask for. I mean, I generally think that it's a mistake to have strong ideological oppositions to presidential appointment if it turns out there's somebody who's agreed to. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think back in my own career whether there's anybody, say, since 1970 I've opposed. And yes, there are. There's Harriet Myers, if you remember that ill-fated type situation, utterly unqualified for the job. There was Harold Carswell. Why Nixon appointed or nominated him, nobody will know. But in some cases, like with Clement Haynsworth, perfectly honorable judges were, in fact, dragged through the mud. What happened to Robert Bork was not particularly fortunate. What happened to Clarence Thomas wasn't very nice and so forth. And so I think, in effect, you can be opposed, but it has to be on very strong, very powerful grounds of a lack of competence with respect to the purpose. And nobody could come within 1,000 light years of making that kind of charge against either Breyer or Ginsburg.
The Chief Justice, John Roberts, has he lost a wingman in losing when Stephen Breyer loses the court? Was John Roberts in a position to depend upon his seniority?
Well, I think what happens is Breyer had the following really great kind of virtue. What he did is he was liberal, but he was liberal who was always engaging with people on the other side. The fear of folks like myself is that Biden will appoint somebody who's very much further to the left, even to the left perhaps of Sonia Sotomayor, and that if you have a court with a huge wide kind of split, it's going to create a lot of internal tensions, dissidents, and some of that's going to show up in the opinions, and that's going to be very unfortunate for the prestige of the court, for its legitimacy, and for its effectiveness in national affairs. And so what one would urge Biden to do, but I don't think he will do it, is that he should aim to keep on the left side of the court. Of course, that's his prerogative, but he should aim to get somebody in the mold more of Kagan and Breyer, and less in the mold of Sotomayor. She has drifted further to the left, I think. And lately, in some of the statements she's made, I think her outbursts, which, she, you know, on better reflection, she should not have stated some of the remarks that she made with respect to the mandate on vaccines reflected that. Some of her intemperate outbursts with respect to Nino Scalia reflected that. We don't need that on the Supreme Court. I think it's a terrible mistake to say that we want only people on the right. I think you have to have a division. I think Breyer was a perfect illustration, and I think it would be very useful if the president looked to him as a role model for the kind of person he wanted to appoint next.
One more detail. Elena Kagan, does she now become the senior liberal voice because of the way the court works? Does Mr. Roberts need a liberal justice, associate justice, to work with?
Well, I think she is going to be the senior liberal judge. But if it turns out you've got to have five, then it turns out if the chief is on the same side, he'd get the assignment right. Or if it's anybody on the other side who has seniority to her, we'll do it. But remember, you know, in terms of the seniority hierarchy, she is ahead of Kavanaugh, she's ahead of Gorsuch, and she's ahead of Barrett. So I think in the end, and she has Sotomayor on the wing, I think in effect that she probably is going to have a fairly influential role. And she is somebody, I think, who... The most interesting feature of her jurisprudence to me has always been the fact that if there's been a stable convention, she is not in the mood of somebody to kind of break it, which is what's happened here with the executive privilege. So when it came to some of the questions of whether or not delegates who were selected and bound to one presidential party could defect, she wrote in a case called Schiaffalo, that no, they could not do that, and she was not going to entertain that kind of stuff. And so I think what you could say about her, she's very liberal, she's quite passionate. I disagree with her very often. That's neither here nor there. But I do think that she's somebody who's very heavily conscious about the Supreme Court's role.
Elena Kagan is born 1960. She'll be with us for many decades. God bless her. Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, and a tribute to Stephen Breyer announcing his retirement from the Supreme Court. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.